Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
The drive is live.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
Ryan Ugly is out. Brandon Scott is in. T-Mills on them ones and twos. And we appreciate y'all listening to Sports Radio 610 H-Town. We sure enough appreciate it, baby. Stay plugged in. We got a little movement on the Texans front. If you hadn't heard, the Texans traded a sixth-round pick for former second-round pick guard with the Minnesota Vikings, Ed Ingram. I think this is at the very least a depth play here. Not the trade or not the news that I'm hoping for in either free agency or a trade to shore up these guard issues with the Texans, but definitely a competition piece in camp. We'll keep you updated on anything that pops new with that move or any other new moves with the Texans. Now, the Rockets, boys. The Rockets they've won four straight. The Rockets have won four straight. They get the dub last night, 111-104 over the Suns. I mentioned earlier, that's 41 wins, which matches last year's win total with 16 games to play. So you can rest assured, at the very least, the Rockets, Ime Udoka, and this young crew, they're heading in the right direction. They're getting better, obviously. I don't know if they're going to climb up to the West a little bit here and get a higher seed than the five. I don't know if they're going to slide back a little bit with these next 16 games. But either way it goes, we know they're better than they were last year, and they're moving in the right directions. As I said, four wins in a row for the Rockets with five straight that they should be favored in, according to my man B. Scott. Five more now after winning four straight. The Rockets could have one hell of a winning streak going here when they bump up against the Denver Nuggets next Sunday if they go out there and handle their business, which they did last night. I can't remember how many times the Rockets have played the Suns, but this is, I know for me personally, this is the second time that I've sat down and watched a Rockets Suns game, and I believe last time Booker was hurt.
Yeah, they played him right before the All-Star break. Okay, they were the game before the All-Star break, and it was right here at Toyota Center.
Yeah, and Kevin Durant, I mean, they just hassled his ass all night long. Yep. They made it hard on Kevin Durant all night long.
Yeah, he had a big night, but they made it hard on him.
Yeah. Well, they were just, everything they were doing was getting the ball, and they made it hard to even get the ball to him, much less for him to get a shot off. But of course, he's one of the greatest scorers, if not the greatest scorer of all time, so he got his. But look, here's the deal last night. I watched them with Booker and with Kevin Durant, and they still defensively, B. Scott, made it very, very difficult on those two guys. I'm not even looking at the box score. I'm sure they got some points and they did their thing, but they never could get in a rhythm. They kept them, made them work extremely hard just to get touches. And I don't want to steal this from you, but Booker and Durant were not the best player on the floor last night.
Nah, man, I think that's the big takeaway from last night, man, from the game is that. And I'm going to be honest, man, I want to amend something that I said yesterday. Look, I got a little bit ahead of myself. And look, even if it's true that you would trade Jalen Green for Devin Booker, I want to just go on record for myself and say I would never say it out loud. And I would want you to never say it out loud. Like, just keep it to yourself. It's bad negotiation. Don't even talk like that. And to the point, man, Jalen Green looked like the best player on the court last night, on a court that included Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, of course, his own teammate, Alperen Şengün. Like, Jalen Green was the best player last night. And so, to me, you are in a space for the Rockets, and we talked about this yesterday, of kind of like the whole dynamic of when you watch the Suns, you think about, okay, what's next this summer? Are the Rockets interested in Devin Booker? Are they interested in Kevin Durant? Are you interested in those players as a Rockets fan? What it's supposed to look like and what it could look like, it should include you still having Jalen Green on your team with Devin Booker, with Alperen Şengün. And if I'm the Rockets, I'm doing everything I can to keep those guys out of the conversation because I have all of their draft picks.
Yeah, look, I mean, the Jalen Green and even Şengün thing, right? It's a fluid situation because there's some nights you're just like, damn, is he ever going to figure it out? Last night was not one of them. I mean, you look at what Jalen Green did last night. He was 50% from the field, 50% from the 3-point line, had 7 rebounds and 29 points. I mean, he was the show last night by far, and it wasn't even close.
And the big thing was getting to the free throw line. Like, that's been a talking point with Jalen Green of is he not finishing enough around the rim and in the paint. This was earlier in his career, but throughout, it's like, okay, a guy with that type of athletic ability and ability to get to the rim should take more routine trips to the free throw line, and he shoots free throws well. He should take more trips to the free throw line, and he doesn't. Now, there's also the conversation of, does he get a friendly enough whistle, how he's officiated. And I can tell you, somebody that's around, Jalen Green doesn't like to like complain about it in public, but it's like in his head a little bit, right? So does he get a favorable whistle, and does that deter him sometimes? Like, hey, man, I'm driving, I'm getting hacked, and I'm not getting the call. I'm going to start settling for these jump shots to get mine.
Right.
To stay with it. Or for it to just go well to where you're going to the line, you get 11 foul shots. I think it was 10 of 11 from the foul line. Shot way more free throws than anybody else in the game and kind of controlled everything. I think that's the best version of him that you can find.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, B. Scott, because as you're talking about that, I'm just trying to recall, like, as I watch, and there's obviously, you know, still some inconsistencies. I mean, if he was a guy we saw last night, every night, there would be no question about anybody in the league, right? That guy would be the one you're building around, no question.
Yep.
And that's probably the case anyway. But as I watch Jalen Green, for me, and I've said this to you for 2 years now, right? Is like, it's just, yeah, the crazy athletic ability is great, and you can see it, you know, damn near every time he touches a ball. But there's no body control. There's no like processing what's going on and making calculated decisions. And it's crazy, man. Like, when I think about last night's game, it was the exact opposite. And my point in saying all this is, it's just, I'm watching a different guy right now than I was, you know, 6 weeks ago.
But also, to your point and to your concern, that's why you want to go out and get Devin Booker.
Sure, sure.
It's not because it's like Jalen Green's not talented or you don't see the potential, but it's because of that exact thing that you mentioned. And then Devin Booker is exactly that. Like, you know what you're going to get. You know what to expect out of his game. He is a very methodical player, gets to his spots, a reliable mid-range guy, and can shoot the three as well. So, like, and I could see him playing well with Jalen Green. And on the nights when Jalen Green isn't looking the way he did last night against Phoenix, you got that old reliable. Like, instead of right now, their most reliable player in a lot of ways being Fred VanVleet, and no disrespect to Fred VanVleet, but instead it'd be Devin Booker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that raises your floor and ceiling quite a bit.
Well, it just, as I watched Jalen Green last night, I just saw the polar opposite of what my concern was for Jalen last year, right? Which was, just always relying on the athletic ability and wild shots and wild decisions. It was extremely calculated. He was in control. If it wasn't there, he moved it. I mean, it was, I don't know, man. I'm thinking back. I don't think there was one shot, and he took a bunch last night. Yeah. I don't think there was one shot where I was like, well, what in the hell was that?
So yeah.
It was, I don't know. I'm watching. I'm thinking, man, this is an effortless 29.
Yeah.
This is an effortless best player on the floor type performance for Jalen Green last night. And that's, I don't know, I guess my point is that's what I've been waiting for with Jalen Green, was just, as a casual fan, to turn the TV on and go, hey, this dude's commanding the floor. This dude's got great feel. This guy's, he's not just an AAU athlete that's better than everybody.
But to be honest with you, Clint, like, and I know it was tough to watch them in his first couple of years because they were just such a rough watch. But if you compare it to where he started,
sure,
like it has been a steady progression. I give him credit for this. Like even last year, when you would watch and it'd be frustrating, it's hard to say, but like, man, he's still better at it than he was before. And it's been a steady progression from then to now. So yeah. I feel like you got to give him a lot of credit for that. And let me say this too, Clint, like, and this is going to make us all feel old, but this just speaks to the patience that you kind of have to have with these guys. Jalen Green was born in 2002, Clint.
Hmm.
2002. So, like, recently.
That makes me feel old.
He's 11 years younger than my wife.
Born recently is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
2002, we all remember it. 2002.
I feel young till I hear stuff like
that. I'm just saying that's how young the kid is, though. Yeah. Like, right? Like, I remember his rookie year, he's working out, and I saw a tattoo on his, you know, everybody's got a tattoo on their thigh now, right? Got a tattoo on his thigh that says 2002. I was like, oh man, I remember 2002. It was a cool year. I remember, you know, like what's the significance? You know, three-peat for the Lakers. You know, the Patriots were started their dynasty. Well, I mean, what's the significance? That's the year the man was born. So, like, that's you got to have a little bit of patience with a dude that's that young.
Hey, T, that's one, like, there's several layers to when you're getting old. Like, there's going to come a point, like, where, I mean, it's going to hit you and you're going to feel it and your body's going to start responding differently. Like, you're going to drink 18 energy drinks and eat the way you eat kind of deal at some point. But, like,
all right,
one of the things that hit me hard was when it was, like, dudes that are, like, established in the league are 20 years younger than you.
Yeah.
Like, damn. I mean, how did that happen? Because when you're playing and even when you're watching, you're like, oh, these dudes my age.
Yeah.
These dudes are my, or they're older, right? They're my age or they're older.
Yeah.
You're looking back and you're like, I mean, the only guy that's my age in the league is, hell, there ain't one now. But, you know, at the time it was Tom Brady. And you're like, damn, man.
Yeah, I'm sure that hits harder. But I do remember, like, not too long ago when I was getting into kind of like my mid to late 20s. Like, I remember there being a moment where maybe it was the NFL draft or something I was watching, and I was just thinking, man, these professional athletes making these millions, like, it had gotten to the point where they were at my age or just slightly younger.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you feel like you got to figure out what you're doing, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
The Rockets got Jeff Green, I think, is the only Rocket that's older than me. Jeff Green, the Rockets got Jeff Green, and the Texans had.
I want some of whatever Jeff Green's taking, man. Jeff looks like he's old too, but when he gets on that floor, that dude can move and he can still shoot it.
Oh yeah, man, he's just as good a shape as anybody. I mean, the only thing that's old on him is that, you know, that kind of got that ball spot up top. But other than that, man,
that old camera up top don't do him no favors.
Yeah, man. But other than that, he's in shape. Skin is good, man. Jeff Green is doing something right, man. He's living right.
I got one more thing on the Rockets. You know, I got to come back to this Shingun. And B. Scott, I know you're tired of me talking about it.
No, not at all.
Shingun last night, my man was 7 for 7. I mean, he could, it, like, every time they made it a point to get him the ball, one, it was either a dunk or a layup.
Hey, Houston fans, I am so happy.
And even when Jalen's doing what he was doing last night, Jalen talked about this in the post game with him and Shingun working together. It's unstoppable. Right now, I don't know if I'd go there, but it's to me, it is clearly the best offense that the Rockets have to offer. And I don't know why. Like, I'm sitting there at one point, and Shingun in the second half dunks, and they go, oh, he's perfect 5 for 5. And I'm thinking, why in the hell does he only have 5 shots?
Yeah.
Like, why? Because it's not like it's not there. Like, my frustration is what we talked about yesterday, where, like, it's night and day. When he comes down and he's just running around the 3-point line and passing the ball and kind of move, and then all of a sudden it's like they're calling a play for him, and him and Jalen are doing their thing, and he is really, really, really good and creative and savvy with the ball. And it's like, why in the hell, with as wild, I think, as the as a group you have, why would that not be more leaned into? Am I crazy to think that when Shingun and Jalen Green are doing their little pick and roll to the bucket kind of thing, that that is not the best offense they have to offer?
Nah, that is the best offense that they have to offer. But I would just push back and say that he was still the focal point in the center of the offense. Like, to me, it was more of a matter of, and this has been a thing with Shingun, like, how do you handle the double team? And I'm not saying they were doubling him all night, but he is still the focal point of the offense, and everything else sort of plays off of that. Sometimes that means he doesn't get off as many shots, and he's got to just be as efficient as he can with the shots that he does get, and that means somebody else has to go off. Whether it's Jalen Green or some nights it's been Dylan Brooks,
it's
been Jabari Smith at times, or it's been Amen Thompson, somebody else has to go off because everybody's focusing on Shingun. I point out he had 7 assists, almost double anybody else on the team. So, like, he's still impacting the game, and everything is still sort of centered around him. I think that is their best offense right now. There's no question about that. I would agree with you, Clint. I think the question is, what is the ceiling with that being your best offense? Like, how good can you be with an offense centered around Shingun and him being your best offensive player? Do you need Jalen Green to be better, to be the best offensive player, or do you need to bring in a guy who's better than both of them? I think that's the big question for them.
Well, right now,
Shingun's the best option.
It's almost like when plays are called and it's Shingun centric to me. Like you're right, the ball goes through him and he's, especially last night when Steven Adams got kicked out of the game, it changed like the whole flow. He had to play the damn near the whole game.
That was a hilarious moment too, by the way.
Right, the old bear hug, but
too strong.
Which, by the way,
older guys.
Steven Adams, I mean, is he got some kind of background in some kind of martial arts or something? Because Ime Udoka said after the show, like, if Steven wanted to do more than that, he could have done more.
Yeah, I don't know about his background in martial arts, but he's widely known as being the strongest guy in the league for like a decade now. Like, everybody knows that you're not going to find more than 2 or 3 guys stronger than Steven Adams in all of the NBA. You know what I mean? Like, you know, NBA associated with being weak and. Sure. You know, like the soft. This guy would be an exception.
Yeah, okay, I got you.
You don't want to find him in a dark alley.
The old bear hug takedown last night. I don't know how it happened, but old Plumlee ended up with something on his little pop knot on his forehead. Yeah. And I thought maybe Steven Adams gave him the old headbutt or something. But it looked like they must have just butted heads.
Yeah.
When they fell. All right.
But Plumlee big and strong too, and 35 years old. So that was a clash of titans right
some
there.
Some of that old man strength right there. All right. The Texans, they've made a move, y'all. They made a move. They traded for an offensive lineman. Let's lay this thing out for him, B. Scott, left tackle to right tackle, what it is, what it looks like right now, the landscape of the Houston Texans offensive line. And I want to hear from y'all. 713-572-4610. Text in, Twitch, YouTube, on the chat line there. Let us know what you think about this offensive line. You comfortable with it? You scared as hell? You as nervous as me? We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Hughley is out, got his family down there in Disney World doing their thing. If you're out there in Disney World, listen to us on the Odyssey app, man. Go ahead and see if you can't find old knucklehead Ron and tell him we all said what's up. I hope he's making some great memories with his babies.
The showman.
With his mom, with his in-laws. I hope he's traveling safe and having a good old time. He's out there playing with some kind of wands earlier this morning, wasn't he? What was that, Tyler?
He's always doing that, man, you know?
What was he playing with?
Always playing with wands?
Oh, that wand. My bad.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
They must be doing Universal and checking out Harry Potter, man. Pretty cool spot. One of my favorite things about Orlando is all the Harry Potter stuff they've done over there at Universal.
Harry Potter. I think his wife was getting into Harry Potter there for
my wife is
for a while.
Huge Harry Potter fan.
I don't know if I've ever asked if mine is or not. I probably should.
My lady just got into it. She waited until she was 31 years old to do it, but yeah.
It's good stuff, man. Movies, books, all of it.
I'll get around to it.
All right, we've the Texans made a little move, y'all. They made a little move and traded a 6th round draft pick for guard Ed Ingram from the Minnesota Vikings. He's played 40 some odd starts in Minnesota, played a lot of football. He's a former 2nd round pick out of LSU. Apparently a pretty talented just from a talent standpoint, size, speed, that kind of deal, was a big time prospect coming out. But there's some trying to weed through all the different opinions on social media and reports out there. But Ed Ingram seems like Minnesota's just excited to get rid of him as they were to have him. So I don't know kind of how well he's thought of in Minnesota for what that's worth. But nonetheless, there is another move for an interior offensive lineman. Where I think this lands the Texans, whether we're looking at Laken Tomlinson, who they brought in, or Ed Ingram, who they traded for, I think these are guys that put our offensive line, our being the Texans, that put our offensive line in a place where they're not one play away from a guy like Kenyon Green, who is built like a fullback and needs to play fullback at guard.
Kendrick, you talking about Kendrick
Green. What did I say, Kenyon?
Yeah,
I meant Kendrick. I'm sorry.
That is confusing, though.
Yes, Kendrick Green. It was the backup guard that with the short arms and the smaller fella. Gave it hell when he was in there, but it just ultimately, at the NFL level, you'd like to have a little more something to lean on, if we're being honest. So, you're not going to be one play away from him playing at guard. Jarrett Patterson at one point had to sub in at guard. He's obviously a center. He's too light and ass to be a guard, but when your O-line is in bad shape, those are things you got to live with.
Damn, Clint.
What happened?
He's too light and ass to be a guard. He had to go out there and play a little guard too at one point.
He did.
Gave it his all.
Yeah,
man.
He gave it his all. He got a concussion doing it. I'm just keeping it real with you. I mean, Jarrett Patterson is a center. He's not a guard. There's a big difference.
I hear you.
Whether it's Jarrett's size and his strengths, if you will, he's a center. You look at Kendrick Green. Whether it's his arm length or his size, his foot speed, he's a fullback. Right, we get these guys. We got these guys playing out of position. Now, I'll also say, at one point last year, you were one play away from Kenyon Green having to go back in the game late in the season at the guard position, knowing damn good and well he wasn't capable of getting the job done. Right. So what I think of the Laken Tomlinson move and the Ed Ingram move is that you've got some solid depth. That if your new offensive line coach Cole Popovich, who supposedly has been really good with developing young offensive linemen. If he can help these guys take the next step, then you have some good, healthy competitions at your interior offensive line spot. It's a far cry from the move that I believe the Texans need to make at the interior offensive line position, whether it's guard, center, or guard. I believe they need to make a move, whether it's a trade or sign in free agency, a surefire starter, a surefire plug and play. This guy's not competing in camp. This is a surefire starter, and he's going to be a maybe not a captain with a C on his chest, but he's going to be a leader in the O-line room, and that's what this guy's bringing to the table. I think they need that. I think they still need that. But let's talk about the offensive line, B. Scott, real quick. Right now, just to catch everybody up out there, what we have left tackle to right tackle if the season started tomorrow. You got Titus Howard at left tackle, which I am 100% okay with, by the way. If that doesn't work out, I'll eat it. I'm 100% okay with that. Laken Tomlinson is your left guard. Jarrett Patterson is your center. Ed Ingram is your right guard. And Juice Scruggs, by the way, could fill in anywhere in any of those three, left guard, center, or right guard. I think, to me, Juice Scruggs in the NFL is going to be a damn guard. I think that's who he is. I think that's where he needs to play. But we'll see what the Texans think. So he will figure in that interior offensive line as well, obviously. And then at the right tackle position is Blake Fisher. Are we comfortable with that? Are we nervous? Where are we at, B. Scott, with that being the current situation for the Texans offensive line?
I didn't hear not one name that wasn't a question mark.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear not one name. And I'm not saying that it can't be good, that it can't work out, but I didn't hear not one name that I could not make a case against. If you just go down the line, Titus Howard even, and I might feel best. I think that says a lot, actually. If I feel best in that group about Titus Howard at left tackle, who has played basically everything but left tackle over the past 2 years, or has played guard and right tackle over the last 2 years, and I feel best about him, and I know how a lot of people feel about Titus Howard. We feel probably a little bit differently, a little bit more positively. What does that say? I mean, you go back down the line and you tell me, okay, now it's Laken Tomlinson at guard. It's Jared Patterson, who was probably drafted and more so designed to be a backup, to be a depth piece, but has been better than the guys that were drafted ahead of him at both guard and center, that being Drew Scruggs and Kenyon Green when he was still here, right? Like, so that's not ideal. And then the other guard is one of the few who was worse than Kenyon Green last year, from what I'm understanding, and Ed Ingram.
Yeah.
And then, of course, right tackle, I think we feel good about Blake Fisher's trajectory, but I think that's still a question with him going into his second season and exactly how ready he might be for that role. I feel decent about the tackle situation, but still, from guard to guard, guard, center, guard, I don't feel necessarily great about that. Now, I don't think this is the final product, but if we're just standing here now looking at it, no, I would not feel comfortable with this.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable at all with it. Like I said, I think you've got some good solid depth. I think you've created some good solid competition. I don't think you've upgraded the protection for CJ Stroud one bit. I do not think that you have. I don't think your counter move to trading Laremy Tunsil is even remotely close to making sense at this point if you're the Houston Texans. I know Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans aren't done right now, but you can't move on from Laremy Tunsil, who, by the way, you're going to pay him $21 million this year. You're giving Christian Kirk $16, by the way. You can't move on from one of the best pass-protecting left tackles in the game and ship out two other interior offensive linemen, which I have no problem with, but making those moves and then filling them with randoms for sixth and seventh round picks, that's not going to get it done.
Yeah, and I don't think we're saying that they got to go out and get somebody who necessarily is a four-time or five-time Pro Bowler in Laremy Tunsil's case. Like, the likelihood that somewhere within the interior, even at tackle, you're going to get somebody that is as accomplished as Laremy Tunsil to come and join this offensive line feels pretty low, but it still has to be better than what you've seen so far. And I anticipate that it will be at some point.
Well, look, the reality of the situation is again, and I'm going to beat this dead horse, sorry, but I mean, you can't be this organization. You find your quarterback. He has a rookie of the year first season and turns your organization around. The second season, very similar as an outcome, but the offense and your quarterback take a step back. And your number one goal, your number one priority in the offseason is to protect that franchise quarterback, and this is what you do. Cannot absolutely even remotely close to what you do in terms of just that effort. What are you going to put a solid foot forward to help this quarterback? This can't be it. So we'll see what happens from here on out. I've got to believe. Damn it, Nick. Damn it, D'Amico. Don't do it to me. I just simply got to believe that this is going to swing in a major, major way.
I'm a little nervous.
Yeah, well, I mean, we ought to.
A little bit nervous about it.
We ought to, based on the radio silent and the two moves that have been made at the interior offensive line. You should be a tad bit nervous. All right, the Astros, they had a little split squad action today. That is wrapped up. We'll cover those for you real quick, break those down. The one thing that I think a lot of Astros fans have been worrying about or have worried about this spring training, it happened today, y'all. It happened today. We'll tell you what that is. We'll do that next right here on
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Sports Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
There's always room here for the lonely. Go watch your broken dreams dancing out of the beams of a neon moon. I think
two young lovers are running wild and free. I close my eyes and sometimes see. I feel sorry for my old lady. I sang these songs in her ear real loud. I know it ain't no good, y'all.
I might sing this at karaoke tonight, man.
Just deal with it. What else you got in there, man? You got a little Mama Maria in there?
Oh, yeah.
Let me get a little bit of that. Let me get a little bit of that, brother. Hey, there it is. You know what's going on. Y'all know what that means, baby. It's time. It's that time to give away them old four pack of tickets to the Brooks and Dunn Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. We're giving them away right now. 713-572-4610. Caller number four worked so well for us on Tuesday. We'll stick with that good old number four. Brooks and Dunn, a four pack of tickets to see them at the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. Just in case you're wondering, because everybody can't win tickets. If you want to go and you're wondering, that is a Saturday show. That's a Saturday, March the 22nd show, ladies and gentlemen. So if you don't win, you know you can get some tickets. You know what time the show is. And also, make sure you listen to 5 o'clock hour. We got a four-pack of Cody Jinks to the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. We got a four-pack of tickets there for you as well. So stay plugged in. Tell your mom and them. Tell your friends and them. Stay plugged in. We appreciate y'all listening, Houston. We appreciate it more than you know.
Best thing I've ever heard at the rodeo is Brooks and Dunn, Neon Moon 2006.
Boy, they were at their peak, wasn't they?
Best thing I've ever heard. And I told you I saw John Legend there before. I've seen Beyonce. I saw Destiny's Child. I've seen basically everybody that you can think of. Brooks and Dunn, yep. Neon Moon 2006, Feet on the Dirt. Best experience I've ever had at the
Feet
rodeo.
Feet on the Dirt, huh?
Feet on the Dirt. I don't know how I lucked into that because I was a teenager. But somebody got me
you
tickets.
You sneak in down there?
No, I didn't sneak. I had real legit tickets. Probably still wasn't supposed to be there. Did not belong. Because I didn't have a full appreciation for what I was about to witness.
Yeah.
You know, I had no idea.
That's
but,
a good one.
But once I got there, it was pretty clear. It was pretty clear. I was like, hey, there is something to this.
Yeah, when you get into your 90s, 90s country, which I would consider Brooks and Dunn 90s country, right? I mean, obviously you're doing them in the early 2000s, but you got those artists again, George Strait and Alan Jackson and you know all these solo artists that are really really good that I enjoy the hell out of. But then if you want to take it up just another notch, man, that Brooks and Dunn and what they can bring to the table just takes the entertainment value to another level. A little bit more of an entertainer in those two guys than I think your traditional 90s country just kind of standing around and singing. Obviously, Garth took it to a whole different level. But Brooks and Dunn's a good one. I've seen them multiple times in concert, and they are absolutely tremendous. We may get out and see them on. That's a Saturday. We may be able to get out and do that Actually, there's no way we can do that. I believe that's the weekend my sister-in-law's getting married. So I don't think that's going. I don't think we're going to be at the rodeo.
Still highly recommended for the rest of y'all, though, even if we can't do
it. There you go. If you can't go to the rodeo, catch one of these Astros games. They'll be at Daikin Park before you know it. Now, the Astros today had a little split squad action going on. They had a group playing the Cardinals. Finished in a tie. 1-1 tie. Spencer Arrighetti was on the bump. 3 innings, 2 hits, 1 earned run, 4 Ks. Good little outing. He did give up a triple to right center field, which scored that one run, but he obviously got out of that bind with a runner on third and apparently had a good little outing right there. Abreu also came in, one scoreless. Taylor Scott, Otete, he pitched one scoreless. But the story in this game here, before we get to the other one, the story in this game here, B. Scott, is simple. I think it's what all Astros fans are watching. I don't know if the worry or the concern level is there as it may be for some of the guys that live it day to day, but it's definitely something to watch. Altuve in left field, a ball's hit, skied out to the warning track ultimately. And I think a good left fielder, a major league left fielder, makes that catch, and 10 out of 10 times, fairly easily. Altuve misjudges the ball, you know, half-ass jumps, ball bounces around, takes him forever to react and play the error kind of deal. That right there in a nutshell is I think, where if there is concern out there in Astros Nation, that's where the concern is, because those types of plays can cost you a game.
Yeah, I would honestly say that like, for me, the most positive thing that you could say is that's what spring training is for.
Fair.
Like, I mean, that's the most positive spin on it, because everything else is basically what you laid out. It's a routine play, and it is the concern of having Jose Altuve out there, and it is the cost of just the simple fact that he can no longer play his natural position at a replacement level, even like to the point to where they feel like they need to replace him. So him not being able to play his natural position means you have to force him into a position that is unnatural to him. And look, if he doesn't get much action, any action in some cases, like, hey, you can withstand it, because it means that you still get Jose Altuve in your lineup. But in a situation like this, when you need him to respond the way, you know, a natural outfielder or an experienced outfielder would, he's not able to do that. That's what spring training is for, is both for him to get that experience and also for you to evaluate, okay, what do I think is the likelihood that he can figure that out? Like, maybe I can give him a pass for not being able to make that play right now, but based off of what I see from him and the work that he's putting in, do I feel like at some point, or when we really need him to, that maybe he can make that play at that point? I don't know what the exact answer to that is, but it is a question. It's a real question, because you're looking at it and you're like, man, he ain't played no outfield. And when he goes out there, he doesn't exactly look like a natural.
Well, look, I was just hoping not to see that in spring training. I mean, that's one of the things. It's not an I told you so, but it's definitely one of those things where you look up and you're like, well, now the concern grows a little bit. And when you watch it, other than just the fascination of watching the greatest all-time Astro move from second base to left field and how cool it is to watch, regardless of the outcome. Once you get beyond that, you're talking about the Astros winning and losing. Plays like today are the ones that could haunt you and become a real problem down the stretch if it indeed does happen. Now, the good thing is I think the low-hanging fruit convenience of Yordan Alvarez's knees are still being talked about at this point in time. I think that's more of a little bit more of a crutch than a reality, if we're being honest. So good thing is, in a pinch, you know, Yordan Alvarez can play out there, and Yordan Alvarez makes those plays.
Yeah, and that's the awkward part about it. It's like, man, you thought, or when we thought, that Yordan Alvarez was just locked in at that DH spot, and that you had the luxury of, hey, you know what, he doesn't have to play out in the field. He's the DH. You got enough defensive players to make up what he's probably not ideally out there doing, from both a skill standpoint and wanting to keep his knees fresh. Now, the awkward thing that I'm not, like, I don't know how much I really want to have this conversation, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it out loud. Like, are you better off with Yordan out in left field?
Hell yes, you are.
And Jose Altuve as your DH, which sounds crazy.
Yordan.
Because Yordan's not necessarily great in left field.
That's exactly what it's going to be in a playoff.
It might be. but he's not necessarily great out. He's not terrible, but he's not great out there. And you want to preserve him. You're trying to, you know, keep those knees fresh. You don't want to risk injuring Jordan.
Did Ryan come back early from Disney World?
No, I'm just reiterating some of the talking points. I don't necessarily feed into that as much, but it is kind of a concern. Now it's got to be less so, because you got to think about, well, you know, the guy that we need to hide defensively is not Jordan. It's Altuve.
Yeah. Speaking of Jordan Alvarez, he did have a hit today. He had the an RBI single. Which was the Astros' lone run. That thing ended in, obviously, spring training game. Not going to play extra innings. Split squad game, no extra innings. 1-1. It ended there. If, for those out there counting, covering, interested, Cam Smith, 0-for-2 today. He's now down to hitting .409 and slugging .773 right now. So those two numbers were through the roof a week ago. So we'll see if he can get back hot at the plate. Now the other game, Astros. We're up against the Marlins, 10-5. The Astros won that game 10-5. Ronel Blanco was on the bump here. Rough outing, but hey, we can always say that he was working on something, right? 3 2/3 innings, 7 hits, 5 runs. 4 of those runs were earned, 4 strikeouts. Ronel Blanco, not a great outing, but who knows what he was working on. I think the thing that stands out here, the Astros scored 8 in the top of the first, and there was a couple of guys that had monster days. Brendan Rodgers, the likely second baseman in terms of how things are working out right now, 4 RBIs today. Bases loaded, double in the first inning to score 3 and a late single to score 1. And then Salazar, who we're all familiar with, your reserve catcher, we saw him multiple times last year, 5 RBIs. He had a grand slam and another single late to score 1. As well. So I think Blanco obviously is the headliner there, being out there, but a couple of guys contributed there at the plate.
So yeah, and this is another thing I don't feel like we talk about a lot, but for me, one of the reasons to feel optimistic about the Astros, and something that were things that were revelations for them last year, were Blanco and Spencer Arrighetti. Like, it's the reason why I talked earlier in the week about feeling so good about the Astros pitching and feeling like they got a puncher's chance out there. While they're nobody's favorite to do anything necessarily, they're going to be just as competitive as anybody, because they can throw out there at least five quality starters, not to mention the guys that they could potentially get back from injury, whether that's Luis Garcia, Lance McCullers Jr.,
yeah,
Christian Javier, and guys like that.
Yeah. That's B. Scotty's in for Ron Hughley today. You're listening to Sports Radio 610, Houston Sports Leader. And again, I always want to let y'all remind y'all, man, we greatly appreciate y'all. We have talked a lot about leadership with the Houston Texans as it pertains to Laremy Tunsil. And contrary to popular belief, I believe it was a real deal. Call it a style of leadership, call it a lack of leadership, call it whatever you want to call it. It is at the root of the issue and why Laremy Tunsil is not a Houston Texan. But let's do Laremy Tunsil some justice here. There's a real leadership issue on the offensive side of the football. I'm going to break this thing down for you. This you want to talk about concerns? I probably use that term too loosely, but you want to talk about concerns? This is one I think that has got to be on D'Amico's mind, got to be on Nick's mind, and they've got to get this thing figured out on the offensive side of the football. They need leaders, period. We'll do that next.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.